Hello and welcome to Ag PhD Radio, broadcasting from the Morton Studio today. I'm Darren Hefty along with my brother Brian. I better get all my talking in I can right now because we're talking about drain tile management in the fall, and you know what that means. Brian's pretty darn excited to talk about this. And you know, timing is everything because we're coming off two just ridiculously wet years on our farm where we got way above average annual rainfall. And man, am I glad we've really put a high priority on getting drain tile underneath our fields and taking care of some of these problem areas, because honestly, we wouldn't have had a crop this year if we didn't. So we're going to talk about drain tile management, talk about some of the things you need to be looking at right now on your farm if you have tile in the ground already, and things you need to be considering if you don't. We're also taking your calls and questions all throughout the show at 844-44-AG-PHD. You can email us, radio@agphd.com. Got a bunch of things in the Ag PhD mailbag. We're going to dig into those a little bit later in the show as well. And you can find us on Twitter, Ag PhD Media, Brian Hefty or Darren Hefty. All right. Go ahead, Brian.
Okay. So first of all, a USDA report came out today, and I keep saying this. I just think they're so unbelievably far off on corn. Before I get into the drain tile, I'm going to give you 30 seconds on this. Do you know that last year we had harvested acres? I look back at the report from last winter. It was 81.7 million acres of harvested corn in the United States. Well, this year they're saying there are going to be 81.8 million acres of corn harvested in the United States. Now, if you believe that we're going to harvest more corn acres than last year, you didn't travel the country much. That's all I can say. I was in a lot of the United States, the states, this year, traveling all over the place. The acres aren't there. So I think it's nuts. But here's the whole thing. We can't control things like that. What can we control? We can control drainage out in the field. And yeah, I talk super passionately about this, and you're probably sick of hearing me talk about drain tile as I have for years and years, but here's why I talk about it so passionately. Because it has literally transformed our farm. When we first started putting tile in the ground back in 2007, that year we were farming something like, I'm going to say, 35 fields, okay? We had three that we could farm straight through. That's it. We were going around wet holes. And I mean, we've never taken a prevent plant acre, nor will we. We will always plant every single acre, no matter what. I don't care if it's July when we finish planting. Doesn't matter. So we always got the acres planted. But sometimes we had to go back to the field four times. Sometimes we had to go back to fill in drown out spots multiple times. We were getting stuck a lot. It was such an unbelievable pain. And now we farm every field straight through. So anyway, it is just incredible what tile can do. And here's the big thing that I want you to be thinking about. Your ground will be so much more healthy if you have proper drainage, as opposed to when you don't have proper drainage. The one thing I can promise you is that if you have poor oxygen levels in the soil, you absolutely will not have what we would call healthy soil. In other words, you've got great microbial life in there. You've got great root growth in there. You want all those things because obviously that's going to lead to higher yields and it's going to lead to long-term better soils. So your ground is just worth more in the long run. But you don't have that if you have poor drainage. So I realize that tile costs money. Believe me, I've been the guy who's had to sign the checks. It does cost money. But man, it pays off good. And yes, we were super lucky with the timing. Darren said already, timing's everything. Well, we bought our own tile plow in 2007. We started tiling hard then all the way through basically 2012. By that point, we got almost everything done. In that drought year, we were able to get into even the worst stuff, finish every last thing up. Well, think about what the crop prices were back then. That's back when we had a lot of $5 to $7 corn, a lot of $10 to $15 beans. And literally, we had tile projects that were paying off in 1 year. 1 year. But even now when we're doing tiling, sure, it might take a couple, 3, 4, 5 years to pay stuff off. But so what? It pays off eventually. And the big thing is your yields just keep going up over time. Because again, when you get your soil healthy, it's just like, I mean, if you read in farm magazines now, that's the number one topic you see is healthy soil. And their big promise is yields are going to keep getting better. Well, that's exactly what drain tile helps you do because you've got better oxygen in that soil. So anyway, you absolutely can do this yourself on a lot of the ground. Yes, I realize it used to take somebody who was really educated because we didn't have great equipment. Well, today we have unbelievably fantastic equipment. We have GPS. And it's not just regular GPS, it's RTK GPS. We have these control systems so you can put in that tile and you can feel 100% confident that you are maintaining the right slope. It's awesome. Things have changed so much. And I just feel so fortunate that we live in this day and age where we can have such great equipment that a farmer himself can operate, make yourself lots of money, and it's great for the long run. Now, I will tell you, we do still have some work custom done. Some of the really big lines, some of the really deep lines, some of the things where, quite frankly, I don't want our people spending their time at or taking the risk at. So we do a lot of the simple stuff. We put in a lot of the smaller lines, 4 to 8 inch lines. And here's one other thing too. I realize there are a lot of people out there that will talk to you about 3 inch lines. Yes, you can save a little bit of money. But I really listened to our dad before we started tiling because he was originally from North Central Iowa where everything was pattern tiled. And he just said, guys, if you can afford it, you always want to have your tile just a little bigger than you actually need because it's just so many more years before that tile ends up filling up. And also, he said, you never know when you get an extremely wet year. And he was prophetic in this because look at the last 2 years. We've literally had double normal rainfall. Well, if you've had your tile lines kind of upsized a little bit all along the way, you can handle it pretty well. But boy, if you don't, you're in trouble. So anyway, we're going to talk about drain tile all throughout the show today. Be more than happy to take your phone calls, answer your questions about tiling, just overall water management. Our number here is 844-44-AG-PHD. That's 844-442-4743. Be happy to answer your question via email as well. If you want to email us, it's radio@agphd.com. We are going to get to the Ag PhD mailbag later in the show. But coming up next, we're going to talk more about drain tile. Stay tuned.
Every farmer knows there are lots of steps to having a perfect season. Don't let your fertilizer plan be the step that trips you up. For over 35 years, AgroLiquid has had the experts and the products that'll help you move closer to your target. No matter when you apply fertilizer, no matter how, you'll hit the bullseye. AgroLiquid can help you increase yields and crop quality. To learn more, go to agroliquid.com. AgroLiquid moves you closer to your target.
Want to cut production costs without losing yield? Brian Ryberg from Buffalo Lake, Minnesota has done just that. Here's his story.
We began using a soil warrior on our farm the fall of 2014. We've seen many benefits from better water infiltration, a lot less hours on equipment, fuel, able to reduce our fertilizer side. So it's really simplified our operation.
See what makes Soil Warrior different and better at soilwarrior.com.
A pasture should have two things, grass and cattle. No weeds, no brush. That's why Chaparral Herbicide offers the broadest spectrum weed control available. It controls weeds other products can miss, like buckbrush and Canada thistle. And less weeds and brush in your pastures means more forage, so you spend less on feed. Chaparral also suppresses seed heads, lessening the effects of fescue toxicosis, all while providing season-long residual control. Visit noweedsnobrush.com today and learn more about Chaparral.
As your corn crop grows and the ear begins to form, potassium is at a high demand, almost as high as nitrogen. The same is true for soybeans, with similar high demands of potassium during pod fill. Don't fall behind. Ensure your crop is getting its potassium with Catalyst. Catalyst by Actagro has been shown to be the best at entering the leaf when compared to other leading potassium products. Visit k-supercharged.com for more information.
Back, you're listening to Ag PhD Radio, broadcasting from the Morton Studio today, talking about drain tile management in the fall. And you know, Brian, one of the things that's already coming up this fall is it's pretty wet. Get some feedback from some growers up in southeast North Dakota saying, man, we want to get some tiling going, but it's really wet. It's wetter than it was in the spring, and now we're starting to get a little bit of snow. Hey, the good news is it's early October, and that snow is not going to stick around forever. It's not like when it happens in November, and you might be stuck with it for a while.
Well, the other thing is, I mean, not every year in the fall is it great for tiling. And so the big thing is you've got to be ready to go when the day hits. And you might still get some days yet this fall. Otherwise, you look at, hey, how about next spring? We have done almost 3/4 of all the tiling we've done in crop. And you say, what? You're going to tear up your crop? Yeah, we are. But we're not tearing up much, because keep in mind, let's just say, for example, we were out there even in a pattern tile situation, which most of our stuff, we didn't even have to pattern tile because we got some rolling hills and stuff. But anyway, even if you had a pattern tile situation, it's one shank every 50 feet. So it's not like you're running a disc or a field cultivator or something like that. You're running one shank every 50 feet. So we have yet to have this show up negatively on the yield monitor when we have tiled in crop. The key is tiling early. We like to tile in crop ourselves when the crop is 1 foot tall or less, and then we're in pretty good shape.
All right, let's get to the phone lines here. So we got Kevin Lippert with us with Lippert Tile over in Minnesota. Kevin, how are you doing today?
Good. You know, what?
Oh, my goodness, yes. You know, this has been something. I've talked to so many growers in Minnesota that have said, you know what, if I got prevent plant acres, I'm getting that stuff tiled. I'm done messing around with this. I'm sure you probably had a little bit of that up in your area, too, where guys are just fed up with it, and they're going to get it fixed.
Yep. They just said this year they took the money and ear loaned it or whatever, and we just pattern tiled it out.
You know, it's been quite a difference. The guys that got this done, and I know even in your area, you get a lot of 100-foot spacings up there. I've seen a lot of guys that are splitting those lines and trying to improve drainage.
Yeah, I've only done a 100 to 120-foot spacing one or two times. I really try convincing the guys to get to that 50-60 range. So that works, seems to work best up in this area.
Yeah, I think it's a good place to start.
Taken care of.
Well, you know, here's another thing, Kevin. My brother was talking about this earlier, and I actually think on this point he's right, and I agree with him, that we're set up for 20 inches of annual rainfall with our tile. The last couple of years, it's been more like 40, and we're not really set up for 30 or 40, and perhaps we need to up our game just a little bit for the extreme years like this.
Yeah, that's what it needs to be, because I mean, we tiled yesterday, and we were going along with the machine, and it just fell into a soft spot. We almost didn't get out of it. You know, there's pockets in the field that it's so saturated now with the rainfall we've had the last 3-4 years. You know, the ground just can't keep up with it. And so, ergo, the closer spacing the tile, the guys that have did it, like on our own, you know, we got tiles spaced down to 40 inches, and them fields all got planted on the 6th of May. So,
yeah, made a big difference. I know we were out in a field that got planted the end of April. We had two fields that got planted in April, and there's no way we would have been in there without tile underneath that. And the yields are showing it. Where we got planted early this year, we got significantly more yield. And we get questions about payback all the time. How do you have that conversation with growers when they say, well, what's my payback on this tile going to be?
Well, the payback on it is, you know, it's just a guaranteed 10 bushel to 15 bushel on beans. And, you know, you can see upwards in that 50 to 60 on corn, you know, when they do that. And the tile's a long-term thing, you know, so it should be long-term, intermediate. Guys want to pay for it right away. Well, they can pay for it right away. That's all fine and dandy. But, you know, it really should be spread over a few years and put on their depreciation schedules, that kind of thing. They pay for half up front and put the rest on a depreciation schedule. And then it's a lot more manageable number, you know. Then you can get down to that tile cost of per acre installed is in that $30 to $40 an acre over some time, which is very easily recoverable, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're right. We're not just getting a one-year benefit out of this. It's something that's going to be working on our fields for a long time. And I think the yield advantage is one, just seeing how many growers had to get pulled out of stuck situations in this last couple of years, like you say. There's a huge payback in just not having to mess around with, with all that stuff. So how long will you go this fall, Kevin? Do you guys run well into the winter where you're at in central Minnesota?
I don't, only because I run a Gold Digger Stealth on a Cat 55, and it gets much into that, you know, 4 or 5 inches of frost. It just gets too hard, and the reason why I bought my plow is, no, nothing against other commercial contractors, but, you know, when it's really bad and cold and crappy out, I just, you know, I don't think the job gets done the way it should be getting done. And then, too, the digouts, when they do the digouts, you can't tell me that they're not putting frozen ground back on top of that plastic. You know, I'm kind of a fair weather tiler. It's better tile for the money that the guys are spending. It's well paid better and installed a lot better when in good conditions. You know, a lot of this prevent plant stuff that went in was busy. I've really never tiled in June and July. Them were my busiest months.
Yeah, we've done a lot of that too. You know, with our farm, we've done a lot of stuff in crop. I think, what did we figure the last few years, Brent? 70% of our tile has been probably in season. Yeah, it's been a lot.
Yeah, we've done it too. And, you know, we've got the beans in and stuff like that. And the beans are up, you know, 3-4 inches. We went back in there and pattern tiled the chunk out and closed it. I got a 16-foot press drill, and we just went back in and press drilled those beans back right on top of the tile lines. And by the fall, it looked terrible for a while, but by the time the combine rolled across it, you couldn't tell any difference. There was no yield loss. You couldn't see it on the yield monitor. It was a little bit slower combining, kind of going over those lines a little bit, but the work got done on in good conditions.
I think that gives hope to a lot of growers that are saying, oh man, it's going to be too wet. I'm not going to be able to get tiling done this fall, so now I'm going to have to wait a whole nother year. I agree 100% with you, Kevin, that you don't have to wait another whole year. You could do it in season next year. Who knows what our spring will be? Maybe we'll get a great spring. I hope we do. We're probably going to need it. But even so, if we get going in May or June, we can still get a lot of tiling done out there and at least get main lines in where you can fill in some of those laterals later on.
And some guys have done it right. You know, we've done it. They planted the corn ain't up yet, and we went in. The conditions were, they finally got dried out, and okay, tile that. You know, we went in and tiled it, and it went in and spiked some back in on top of it, and you really didn't notice anything. And that was after the corn was planted. So, there's windows in the spring where you can get the spring tiling done in good conditions instead of waiting the fall and guys, the crews are out there in the frozen ground and snow and whatnot. And for what the cost to get it put in, I guess I put it in and try to put it in good conditions for them. So.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where you got to get stuff done. We get so many fields out there, and we saw them this year where there isn't any tile in the ground. I hope you're getting a little bit of hope here that just it doesn't all have to get done in 1 month in the fall. There's plenty of time throughout the year to get much of this done. And we're speaking with Kevin Lippert with Lippert Tile up in central Minnesota. Kevin, thank you so much. Really appreciate having you on, and good luck here the rest of the season.
Yep, thank you. Good luck.
Yeah, there's certainly a lot of tile going in. I look at prevent plant acres just in our region where we farm, and I see a lot of those prevent plant acres guys getting tile work done, which is great for the long term here. And for the most part, ag bankers being very supportive of this, trying to get those fields where they're productive. And we get a lot of questions about how soon is that tile going to start working? How soon is it going to run? Well, it's running, in our experience, almost immediately. And it's going to make a difference for you even getting back in there this fall. All right, we'll get back to the phone lines here right after this. You're listening to Ag PhD Radio. If you'd like to join the discussion, give us a call at 844-44-AG-PHD. Stay tuned.
Your grain bin fans can cost you a lot. High electric bills from running when conditions are not ideal, shrinkage from overdried grain, and spoiled grain all take money out of your pocket. With the Steps GMS app temperature humidity switch, get your bin fans to start making you money. Only run vans when the conditions are right. Eliminate shrink and spoilage in your bins. Deliver grain in top condition at market moisture. When every dollar counts, you need Steps GMS. Contact us today at stepsgms.com.
Build with the best. When you choose Morton Buildings for your next farm storage building, you'll experience the Morton advantage at every step, starting before the walls even go up. Since the value of our buildings is in its ability to protect what you have stored inside, we ensure that every component is researched and tested to withstand the elements in all weather conditions. And we back it up with the strongest warranty in the business. Looks better, built stronger, lasts longer. Learn more at MortonBuildings.com.
Are you combining around weed patches, waiting for weeds to dry down, or tired of spring burndown failures? Save time, nutrients, and moisture by including a Valor herbicide brand in your fall burndown program. Valor provides excellent residual control of tough weeds, including kochia, marestail, prickly lettuce, dandelion, plus suppression of bromes. Proactive, effective weed resistance management starts in the fall. Get a clean start for your next season with Valor herbicide brands. Always read and follow label directions.
If you're a rancher who's obsessed with keeping your pastures clear, turn to Grazon Next Herbicide. It offers superior broadleaf weed control, so instead of thinking about weeds, you can think about the money you'll save growing more grass and buying less feed. Used early in the season, Grazon Next also provides residual activity that controls newly emerged weed seedlings, giving you season-long control. Start enhancing your land while you protect it. Visit leavetheweedstous.com to learn more about Grazon Next. Always read and follow label directions.
When it comes to my weed control, I know a head start can go a long way. That's why I spray early, so I can keep control all season long with a Roundup Ready Extend crop system, the system that makes the difference. This is my field.
Choose the Roundup Ready Extend crop system for control of more weeds than any other soybean system. Featuring Extendamax herbicide with vapor grip technology to manage tough-to-control weeds, including up to 14 days of soil activity, along with the field-proven performance of Roundup Ready to Extend soybeans. Now you have the right tools to extend your weed control and extend your yield with the system that makes the difference. Learn how you can put the system to work in your field when you visit RoundupReadyExtend.com. Extendamax is a restricted-use pesticide. Performance may vary. Always read and follow grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions. Check local regulations for specific requirements in your state.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ag PhD Radio, broadcasting from the Morton Studio today. Talking about drain tile management in the fall, and we got Keith Rower with us right now with dry run drainage, down in the state of Iowa. Keith, thanks for joining us.
Hey, good afternoon.
All right, I assume you're quite busy out in the field too. When you think about this fall tiling, everybody wants their tiling done all at the same time. How's it going this fall so far?
Well, we're doing as best we can, just plugging along, and Mother Nature's thrown some rain at us today, so this afternoon we're shut down, but we were able to get at least something done this morning ahead of this. So, yeah, just going to be a challenging fall, just the way the spring was, I guess at $3 corn, doesn't really keep people inspired to give a tiler a call, but 3 inches of rain sure does, so, and it goes back to that, $7 corn. Everybody wants every bushel. $3 corn, you need every bushel. This is the opportunity to get that with drainage like you were talking.
All right, so in order to speed things up, let's just say that I'm a farmer and I'm going to call you and have you do some tiling for me. What can I do to help that job go quicker for you? What do I need to have ready for you up front?
Boy, if there is any pre-finding of existing tile lines, locating and figuring out what systems are already around there and how to deal with that, that probably takes the longest in prepping a job. But that gets a little difficult for the farmer himself just because, a backhoe is typically required, and then we use different equipment to tile find with. And so, having any maps available, history, whether it's just verbal history that grandpa used to tell all the time, those things gathered up are very useful. And any potential issues with neighbors, if you have an outlet that's going to be needing to go through, having had conversations with your neighbors and already had a plan together, can help save some time as well. So just thinking of those details, I guess.
Yeah, I agree that a lot of that stuff, rather than wait till last minute, and there's generally some last minute changes when you get there, you say, ooh, hey, here's another way we could do it. We could do it cheaper. We could do it better or whatnot that the farmer may change to. But you're right. Having what's my existing plan that I've got out in the field all mapped out for you, I can see how that would help a ton. You know, when you think about as far as the field condition, obviously you want to have the crop harvested, but is there anything else that growers could do out there to help you that way?
Oh, I mean, just the grower, their only really help they can give is offering us more time in the field when the crop's in there. You know, Mother Nature really dictates a lot of that. Otherwise, when winter comes, we're done. And when it's rainy and muddy, we're stuck. So, you know, we're kind of at the mercy of her there.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, Keith, really appreciate having you on today. I know you're super, super busy this fall. We happen to catch you on a rain day, which I guess is to our benefit here, but hopefully you're going real soon again in the fall. Stay safe. Really appreciate what you're doing.
Well, thank you. Have a safe fall yourself.
You bet. I got Tim Kilmer with us right now with Horsepower Drainage in South Dakota. Tim, how are you doing?
We're good today.
Excellent, excellent. You know, there have been a lot of prevent plant acres across South Dakota and across this region. What are you finding out when you get out in those fields and get the tile working?
If they had the tile, you know, going in front of this, they probably would have got it planted. And in most cases, it was just a matter of, I'm not saying it wouldn't have been muddy when they planted it, but I think they would have got it planted.
Yeah, I don't see how we would have without it this year. No question about that. Are you getting calls from farmers? Are you getting calls from landowners? All of the above, bankers? Who's talking to you the most?
You know, here lately, I've been getting a lot of calls from land managers, you know, they're looking for just anybody with any time in their schedule to get a tile project in before winter, because they're just scared that, you know, this water, it's sitting there this fall, it's going to be waiting for them next spring. And they're scared they're still not going to get it planted.
Okay, talk to us about that,
and,
Tim. So you get tile lines in right now. How long will those tile lines run, and what kind of a difference can that make with your many years of experience in this business? Well, what kind of difference could that make for next spring?
Well, I think if it had the winter to catch up, and I mean it's still raining. So every time it rains, it's here lately. I mean, well, around south of Sioux Falls, we've gotten 4 or 5 inches in the last 10 days. It just continually is just adding accumulative in the soil profile. If we can get that pipe in, which, I mean, I'm not saying it's going to be fun, but I think with commercial machinery, we can get it in. But if it can get caught up and go through a free saw cycle so that any compaction we made from the machinery can get freed up, you know, I think if we put that stuff in now, I think it could be really in a good spot, even as early as the 1st of December. You know, it's just a matter of getting out there right now. We've been on some of these holes, we've been dragging our machinery through with dozers and stuff just to get a line in there to start getting some water out of it. And cause otherwise, it's like, they're dead on the money that they won't get it planted this spring if they don't get something in there.
Yeah, I certainly know what you're talking about. I remember just a year ago watching a project that you and your guys were working on, and that was the only way things got even started is you had to kind of get through some tough stuff just to get the ball rolling on the whole thing. But I know from personal experience, we've gotten rid of a lot of water over the winter and created a zone where we've got some oxygen where our roots can get down in the spring, and we've got a little cushion for those spring rains that we know are coming. So often we talk to growers that are in historically dry areas of the country, and they're like, man, it's never wet here. I said, well, when is it wet? And they say, planting season, and harvest season. That seems to be the wettest times. You're right. If we can get a jump on this thing, that's excellent. So how much time is there on the schedule? I know I've been talking to some other Tylers here on the show. They're busy right now, and I'm sure you are too.
We've been adding some machinery, kind of stepping out in faith and getting some more machinery, and we've got staff that we're promoting that have been with us for a number of years. And I think as long as, all things considered, I think I'm looking for maybe two or three more projects before we're full for the fall, because we're adding another machine. But only because if we didn't add that machine, we wouldn't have any room. And it's just a matter of looking at your situation and going, okay, if that excavator can dig enough holes for two machines and that hole person can hook up both plows, pipes for both plows, and that same skid steer can fill in both holes, why wouldn't just, it's like eating with two hands. If we can run two plows in the same field, that's, and try to get some of these producers in a place where they've got a some hope in the spring. But right now, I mean, we got one guy in Spink. I mean, they haven't planted a field in over 3 years.
Wow.
And they're pleading with me, can you get this in this fall? And I said, it could just quit raining. It's got to quit raining to get in there.
Yep.
Or if it could just get some frost, if it freezes a little bit, that would help.
Yeah, we just need to get going on some of this stuff, no doubt about it. Well, Tim, thank you for joining us. I really appreciate that today. I know there are certainly Tylers. I hear other Tylers saying the same thing. We're adding more machines. We're trying to be as efficient as we can and utilize folks that have been working for us for a number of years to get things done quicker, to move this process along. And it is getting done. It's just quite a battle, you mentioned, with the weather we've had. Tim, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. And stay safe this fall.
Thank you, sir.
We're talking about drain tile management in the fall. We're talking about getting tile in, but there's a few things you should be checking on your tile lines that are already out in the fields too, to make sure they're fine heading into the winter. We'll talk about what you should be looking at on your existing lines also, and we'll take your calls and questions at 844-44-AG-PHD. We'll be right back.
Are you combining around weed patches, waiting for weeds to dry down, or tired of spring burndown failures? Save time, nutrients, and moisture by including a Valor herbicide brand in your fall burndown program. Valor provides excellent residual control of tough weeds, including kochia, marestail, prickly lettuce, dandelion, plus suppression of bromes. Proactive, effective weed resistance management starts in the fall. Get a clean start for your next season with Valor herbicide brands. Always read and follow label directions.
Worried about glyphosate-resistant weeds and grasses in your corn? Unleash the power of new Impact Z herbicide and get the early post-application advantage you've been waiting for. Save $3 per acre when you combine Impact Z with a qualifying insecticide purchase. Go to buy2save3.com for details. Buy2save3 is a service mark, and Impact Z is a trademark owned by Ambac Chemical Corporation. All rights reserved. Impact Z is a restricted-use pesticide. Always read and follow label instructions.
If your fertilizers aren't formulated to maximize your efficiency, if you can't mix all the PK and micros your crop needs into one prescription application, if you have to add products to improve and invigorate your soil biology, then you need to expect more from your fertilizer. With AgroLiquid's advanced technology, you can expect more, a lot more. Make the most of your crop nutrition. With AgroLiquid, to find a crop nutrition expert near you, visit agroliquid.com.
When looking for someone to help with your risk management, a key component to look for is patience. Patience to bring you along in the process at your own speed. Patience to learn about your operation, and patience to not only discuss what strategies may be effective for your plan, but why they would be effective. That's the strength of Grain PhD. I'm Darren Hefty. When you're ready to become more engaged in your risk management, Grain PhD can assist you with that process. Visit grainphd.com to learn more.
We didn't get to the moon by accepting that man can't fly, and we sure didn't get the car by settling for the horse. Progress isn't driven by accepting things as they are. It's driven by asking questions. At Indigo, we're working with farmers to question the entire agriculture system to reimagine everything from soil to sale. Yeah, we like the big projects. Go to indigoag.com/questions to find out more. Indigo, from questions we grow.
Bean growers continue to see yield loss from white mold across the Midwest this season. To maximize next year's crop, a white mold prevention strategy that includes Contans WG soil fungicide is a must for your farming operation. Applying Contans this fall to reduce the sclerotia in the soil is the most effective way to stop white mold at its source. Start a Contans white mold control strategy this fall or pay for it later in lost yield.
Welcome back to Ag PhD Radio. Brian Hefty here, along with my brother Darren, live in the Morton studio. Today, our topic is drain tile. If you've got any questions for us on that, it's 844-44-AG-PHD. That's 844-442-4743. Or email us, radio@agphd.com. All right. I want to spend, Darren, this segment talking about tiling and just some of the benefits that you can have. But, you know, one of the ways that you can figure out if tile would pay for you is to look at a soil test. And so, Darren, which one of these things do you think is easiest to fix with tile? I just want to see what you think here. I'm going to throw out a few things to you. Excess sodium, excess salt, excess sulfur, high pH, and excess magnesium. So I got five things that can be really bad for your soil. Well, actually, four things that are really bad and one that's not too bad. So here again, that's sodium, salt, sulfur, and I should say other
leachables.
Everything's
bad when it's in excess.
High pH, excess magnesium.
Okay.
All right.
That's
so
easy.
All right. So what's the easiest one that tile's going to fix?
That's easy. Salt. Salt, and the other one would be sulfur, if you've got excess sulfur. Those two things are both leachable. So if you have drain tile in the ground and you've got a water table that's up to the soil surface and all that stuff's in the soil solution, you can flush those things out. I think magnesium is a positively charged nutrient. And that would be a little bit more difficult because
you need one more step.
But yeah, sodium, again, you get a positively charged nutrient.
Yep.
So that would be another thing. And then when we think about soil pH is really just a result of the balance of nutrition in your soil. And if you've got nutrients that are imbalanced, like, for example, you have a lot of excess sodium out there, you've got a high soil pH. So as a result of getting the excesses out of your soil, you'll get your pH back in line, but that takes a little more time.
So here's the thing. When Darren and I look at soil tests, and we literally have soil tests sent to us every day, and we'd be more than happy to look at yours as well. But anyway, when I see high sodium, high salt, high sulfur, and other leachables, high pH, and excess magnesium, I go, ooh, this person probably has a drainage issue. And if you just simply take care of the drainage issue, then usually a lot of those things get back in line, and now you're in good shape. The one that is the most troubling to me is the excess sodium thing. High pH, we can still raise some crop. Excess magnesium, we can still raise, in many cases, pretty good crop. But boy, if we have excess sodium, I mean, eventually, at some point, that ground is literally dead. You get up to 15, 20% sodium, that's dead. But the big thing is, that doesn't happen overnight. This is going on for usually decades. And the whole thing is, if you catch it early, now you're in pretty good shape. Now you can get that ground back into shape. If it's 15% sodium ground, I mean, it might take you 20 years to truly get it fixed. So it just becomes an enormous burden for you, an enormous cost. It's tough. So the whole thing is with tile, it's a long-term investment. It's very common to see tile work for 50 years or more. So when you put it in the ground, you should be thinking not just about yourself, but about whoever's going to farm that ground next. Now, I realize if you say, well, I don't have any kids and I'm 5 years away from retirement, so I don't care, at least think about this. That ground is going to be worth more. Either you can charge more rent for it or you're going to sell that ground for more. I have yet to go to an auction sale where there's tile in the ground and the auctioneer doesn't say, hey, there's tile in the ground. This ground's going to be more productive than the untiled land that's right next to it. So the ground will absolutely bring more money if it is tiled. Anyway, I want to talk to you real quick too about how does tile work exactly. So Darren made a comment earlier in the show about tile lines running or when they're going to run, and sometimes they run right away. The whole thing is this. As soon as you put tile in the ground, water's running through there if the water table is above the level of the tile. If you were out there in 2012 like we were when the water tables were low and you put tile on the ground, you go, oh, there's no water running out of here. And right away, some people say, well, I guess it's not paying. Look, tile pays. Okay, it pays when the water table goes up. But when the water table is below the level of the tile line, yeah, the tile line's not going to run. That's fine. We don't have any issue with that. But a lot of people ask us, well, how deep should I really put that tile line? And that's personal preference. That's up to you. We farm in the Western Corn Belt, where we are usually relatively dry. So I put our tile lines at 3 feet deep. Okay, if you are in Illinois and you get double the rainfall we do normally, you might say, I want to have a little more holding capacity in my soil, so I want my tile lines at 4 feet deep. It's up to you how you want to set things up. But the thing that I want you to think about is a year like 2012. Our best yields were still over our tile lines. Now, the people that had tile, let's say, 5 feet deep instead of 3 feet deep, they didn't necessarily have their best yields over the tile lines, and here's why. Because they had lowered their water table right away in the spring, clear down to 5 feet. I'd only lowered ours to 3 feet. So we had much more water in the ground, and through capillary action, some of that comes up, and also roots would go down deep in the ground to get some of that water at 3 feet deep. 5 feet deep, it's a little bit different story. So you should be thinking about that in terms of how deep you want to put that tile in. Okay, then last thing that I've got is misconceptions about tile. Probably the top two I would mention to you are flooding and then contamination. So in other words, dirty water. So the first thing is flooding. And this one just cracks me up. And there's still downstream neighbors that I've got to work with. Even this fall, I got to have a discussion with a couple guys about working together with them on tile. And I would just say this. Be generous with your neighbors. Give them the better deal when it comes to tiling and working with them. And I'm more than happy to do that with any of our neighbors. I don't care if it costs me a little extra money. I just want all of us to benefit. That's awesome. But the thing is, some people believe that when you tile your ground and the water is moving toward them, that you're now going to flood them out. And I'm going, wait a second. Just think about this logically, okay? If I'm going to pay for my tile, how do I pay for the tile? The only way I pay for the tile is with yield increase. So if I get 250 bushel corn instead of 150 bushel corn, which one of those two uses more water? Do you know how much water a 250 bushel corn crop uses? It's unbelievable. My point is this. You're going to have less water going downstream long term. Now, I realize when there's a pipe there and you see water, people flip out. But they don't think about all that water that's running underground. There's going to be all kinds of water moving to the downstream neighbor, whether it's above ground, below ground, doesn't matter. They're downstream. They're getting the water somehow, some way. And here's what ends up happening when you have flooded ground. You have ground where the water table is too high. Okay, let me rephrase this. If I've got the water table right to the soil surface, so in untiled land, if I get a rain, where does the rain have to go? If there's no water holding capacity in the soil anymore, the water has to run off. That's when you have flash floods. So now the neighbor's getting bombarded with all that moisture that's running off my land. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just the way it is. Okay. Whereas when you put tile on the ground, that water's going to come out slowly. A lot of times we set our fields up for, let's call it half an inch drainage coefficient. So over a 24-hour period, half an inch per acre goes out of that field. That's it. Well, think about some of these rains we've had here over the last few years. We've had some 3-inch rains. We've had some 5-inch rains that come in about 3 hours. Or less. Okay, just think of all that water. If all that has to go on to the neighbor, he's not real happy. The next thing is, in terms of contamination, tiling is one of the best things you could possibly do for the environment. That water coming out of the tile lines most of the time is drinking water quality. If you don't believe me, test it. Okay, that's just the way it is. When you've got tile in that ground and you've got soil to filter the water before it hits the tile line, it's usually very clean. Remember that soil is a tremendous water filter. It's awesome. And some people will say, oh, there's more nitrate that comes out. Well, number one, you can manage your nitrogen a little bit differently if you would like to. Do more split application. Be real careful about how much you're putting on and all that kind of thing. But the second thing is there are two forms of nitrogen. Okay, there's not just nitrate. Think about the nitrogen that is in your soil. And I look at the studies that have been done. There's less total nitrogen that goes downstream when you put tile on the ground. That's a fact. So yes, there might be a little more on the nitrate side, but nitrogen in total, less. The last thing I'll throw out to you, if you are listening today and you're on a township board, a county board, whatever, and you've got road issues, remember, the number one enemy of roads is water. It's not big trucks. The number one enemy is water. So do some tiling around the roads. That will solve a lot of the road issues. Well, stay tuned. We'll be right back with your questions.
Find your full potential and increase your bottom line with branded generic fungicides from Atticus LLC. Fungal diseases can be devastating, but Acadia, Slant, and Talaris 4.5F from Atticus deliver lasting, broad-spectrum fungi control so your soybeans, sugar beets, and dry beans can thrive. Growers across the region count on Atticus for relevant and reliable products that deliver results every time. Ask your local retailer about Atticus products and visit atticusllc.com to learn more. For value-based solutions you can trust, turn to Atticus. Always read and follow label instructions.
You need a powerful herbicide to fight the war on weeds. Vellum is Rotam North America's mesotrione herbicide, and it fights against the annual broadleaf weeds attacking your cornfields. Winning this battle means higher yields, lower cost to you, and maximized profitability. For long-lasting residual weed control, check out Evinco Vilify and our newest mix, Rixa. For application, flexibility, and season-long control, that's Evinco Vilify and Rixa, powered by Vellum. For more information, visit vellumherbicide.com. That's B-E-L-L-U-M herbicide.com.
Your independent spirit is more rewarding than ever before. Unlike incentive programs that require growers to purchase a particular seed brand or to bundle certain products, the FMC Freedom Pass program rewards you for making the best choices for your fields. You decide what's best for your operation, from pre-plant to harvest. Your retailer and FMC take care of the rest. It's really that simple. The exclusive agronomic rewards, performance assurances, application innovations, and product financing of the FMC Freedom Pass program make it easier to protect your crops and cash flow. That's what we mean when we say we give you more freedom in the field. You'll experience more control and confidence, too. Generics and imitators can't promise that. Visit your authorized FMC retailer or FMCFreedomPass.com to calculate your potential financial incentive and learn more.
We plant corn in Iowa, spray soybeans in Illinois.
We pull calves in Kansas, farrow hogs in Minnesota.
We raise rice in Arkansas, rye in Canada, and wheat everywhere in between.
We farm millions of acres across North America
and build every piece of Case IH equipment.
Built by farmers, for farmers. Case IH, rethink productivity.
The last thing you want after harvesting your grain is to spoil it before it goes to market. The Grain Temp Guard from Farm Shop MFG is a low-cost bin monitoring solution that tracks temperature and humidity and alerts you when conditions exceed safe thresholds. Visit farmshopmfg.com.
Tired of that old warped poly boom ruining your spray applications? Express Boom from Hypro is a fully assembled stainless steel boom that ensures an even application of chemicals every time. Don't wait another season, upgrade today. Hypro, helping you spray better.
Hey everybody, come on in. The Ag PhD mailbag is about to begin.
Welcome back, you're listening to Ag PhD Radio. If you have an agronomic question, we'd love to help you out. You can email us radio@agphd.com or just give us a call at 844-44-AG-PHD. I got a question from Brent in North Central Iowa. He said, I'm wondering, how do you calculate how much potash to apply in order to raise my base saturation of potassium from 1.8% up to 4%? What is the math that I need to know to be able to figure that out? My current parts per million are 168, and my current base saturation is 1.8%.
Yeah, so it's pretty simple. Okay, you're at 168 right now at 1.8. So what you want to do is take your 168, multiply it times your goal, which is 4, divide it by 1.8, and that's going to tell you what you're trying to shoot for. So if I take here, I haven't done it yet, but let me just do it real quickly. I'll pulling up my calculator on my phone. So I just take 168 times 4 divided by 1.8, and I'm shooting for 373 parts per million. So that's what I would need to get my K up to. So it's at 168 right now. I need to get it up to 373. So if I take 373 minus 168, that'd mean I'd have to apply enough potassium to get 205 parts per million out there. You convert parts per million to pounds per acre by multiplying times 2 if you get a 6-inch soil test. So that's 410 pounds of actual potassium that you would have to get out there. All right. So it's a lot because, you know, potash is 50% K. 60% K2O, but it's only 50% K. So you'd have to multiply that times 2 or divide by 50%. It's 820 pounds of potash you'd have to put out. Now, if you say, oh boy, that sounds like a lot of money. I don't know if I want to do that real bad. I'll tell you two things. Number one, if you put potash out there on relatively heavy soil, which this is, 25 CEC, it's not going anywhere till you use it. So as long as you own the ground, just look at it as a long-term investment, kind of like tile. Okay. The other way you could handle this is you say, I don't want to spend that much money this year. Let's just work on a build program and just make sure you're actually on a build program. So in other words, if you put potash out every 2 years, look at the best possible crop you could raise for corn and for beans. Look at how much potassium that's going to use over the 2-year period. And then I would put on more than that. Otherwise, you're not on a build program. What we commonly find is people will put out just barely enough for their corn, and then the beans actually will take more potassium out of the ground. And that's why a lot of these numbers keep going down for people. They go, well, I've been putting potash on. And I go, well, yeah, but how much have you been removing? You know, you start getting good crops, and it's pretty good. Now, this year, unfortunately, we got some lousy crops. Some of our bean yields are terrible. Some are really good. But boy, just disease and drown out and everything, oh, it's just tough. And we lost some ground to the river. The river literally came out of its banks, and here comes 4 feet of water gushing at your field. You know, stuff like that's happened this year. I get it. But the last few years, we've actually had really good yields. And all I'm saying is just make sure you're calculating for a really good yield and even the best spots in the field. How much potassium are you removing? It's a lot.
All right. Thanks for the question, Brent. Really appreciate that. One from Jesse, and he said, okay, you guys are talking about calcium. I have heard that calcium is necessary for germination. Is that correct?
I have to believe it is. I mean, it's just like...
It's a major essential nutrient.
Right.
And the thing with calcium is a lot of the nutrients are getting into that plant on the back of calcium. So yeah, we need calcium out there. There's no question about it in order to have good crop growth. In terms of germination, if you say my germination's not strong or vigorous or great, is it the fault of calcium availability? Well, it may or may not be. There's plenty of things involved in that.
There aren't many things involved in it. It's mainly your seed and seed-to-soil contact and that you have some moisture. That's what's primarily involved in it. The biggest thing that fertilizer can do when the seed's actually germinating, the biggest thing it can do is hurt you. So you got to be careful about overdoing it, getting too much salt out there. So that's what I would worry about more than anything. So I'm not worried about calcium the day it's germinating. Now, starting right after it's germinated, yes. I mean, then we've got to have ample nutrients available for the crop and balanced nutrients. And calcium is certainly one of the major ones.
All right. Thanks for that question. Really appreciate that, Jesse. Got one from Mark here, another potassium question. He said, what is the best potassium liquid source and what is the most effective placement of that potassium? Hey, thanks, Mark, for the question. We get a lot of questions about K and how do we get it out there? And if we're short, what can I do for this year? And if I'm renting ground, what can I do for this year? Because I don't want to put a whole bunch out there.
Okay, so first of all, obviously we're going to seem biased because we're going to tell you what we're using at our farm. If you ask 10 fertilizer dealers who sell 10 different products, I can promise you, you're going to get 10 different answers about what they think the best liquid potassium is. But we're using SureK on our farm. I really like that. We have found that to give us the best yield gain, and it's low salt, so we haven't had germination issues or anything like that. I would just say this. If you're running low to moderately low rates, in furrow's great. If you start running much higher rates, then I'd rather see it 2x2 or deep injected, like with a strip till machine or something. Get it down, get some down in the ground. And I'll throw this out too. If your soil is completely depleted, I'd love to see it all three ways, a little bit in furrow, some 2x2, maybe even on each side of the row, and some down in a strip till. Because if your soil is completely depleted, you need a lot. The other thing is, in terms of like timing with this, you know, we say all the time, with the liquid fertilizer, it's ready to go. Dry fertilizer, like dry potash, it's very common for us where it takes 6 months, 12 months, sometimes 18 to 24 months before our potash is fully broken down. So to think that for sure it's available for the next crop, no way, not a chance. There's no way on our farm, if we put out potash this fall, it's all available for the next crop. Not a chance in the world. So if you want it all available for the next crop, you are renting ground, you say, boy, I only have 1 year to farm this ground yet, and I'm done, I'd be using a fair amount of liquid. We still use some liquid, even if we're using dry, just to make sure we're feeding that plant real early in the year, getting it off to a great start. But anyway, I can talk about potassium all day. Go ahead, Darren.
All right. Next question. Let's take this one from Gray. And Gray said, I'm looking for information on weed control in pumpkins, options for over-the-top or directed spray after the pumpkins are established. You know, there's a lot of different things that can be used in pumpkins, Gray, and probably the most common ones that we see for pumpkins and quite a few vegetables. I would look up trifluralin and metolachlor as two pre-emerge options. They're labeled for quite a few of the vegetable crops. Also, pendimethalin is labeled for quite a few of the vegetable crops. So those are three decent options for soil-applied residual control that could be done with a directed spray over the top with metolachlor, for example. But typically, we're putting those out early. Post-emerge, in a lot of these types of crops, clethodim is your grass control answer. In pumpkins, I believe post or cethoxidim is also labeled for that crop. One that's actually getting used more commonly now is an ALS product, post-emerge sandia, which would be halosulfuron. Corn growers would know that as permit or one of the active ingredients in Yukon. But outside of that, it's a lot of directed spray of Roundup or I think even Gramoxone is labeled for a directed spray, but I would not recommend that. That's kind of a nasty one to work with. I'd probably end up just spot spraying Roundup just with a hand sprayer walking around. But if you've got lots and lots of acres, we don't have great options for broadleaf control in pumpkins. So don't skip that pre-emerge product. You're going to need it. And thanks for the question, Gray. Really appreciate that. Got a question here from Greg. He said, I'm from Eastern Michigan. We've got bird vetch or tufted vetch in Roundup Ready soybean fields. We had trouble with that. Wondering if there's something we can use to eliminate it. You know, the challenge is that it's a perennial legume growing in a legume crop, and Roundup is not good enough alone on bird vetch or tufted vetch. So here's what you need to do going forward. I don't have a great answer for you this year, but 2,4-D and dicamba are both pretty effective on that as far as burning it down at least and getting it under control, letting your crop get ahead. I would strongly suggest switching to Xtend or Enlist E3 beans going forward so you have an in-crop option. Otherwise, if you rotate to different crops, corn, of course, you've got dicamba labeled. Wheat, you've got lots of different products labeled, like 2,4-D would be examples. Non-crop acres, clopyrrolid, triclopyr, 2,4-D all do a decent job on it. But yeah, that's a tough invasive weed, so don't mess around with that one. Definitely go to Enlist E3 or Xtend soybeans so you have an option. Thanks for the question. Really appreciate that, Greg. And thanks to you for listening today. Had a fun time talking about drain tile. Be sure to join us again each weekday for more Ag PhD Radio. We'll have more fun topics this fall. Now stay tuned for Shark Farmer Radio.